Bible's with you and you wish to follow the reading, it comes from 2 Corinthians, at the beginning of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 1 to verse 11. And I think the guys are going to put it, yeah, they're putting it up on the screen for you as well. And this is what it says there. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guess that same blessing would come to the church here tonight in Paisley. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on and says, Praise be to our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardship we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves but on God. Did you hear that? That this happened that we might not rely on ourselves but God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favour granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Amen. We ask that God will speak to us through that reading tonight and see how perhaps it's applicable to us here in this day and age in Paisley. I want us to think just for a short while tonight about how we cope in times of trouble. That's the theme, as I say, that we're thinking about. About how we find the strength, the necessary strength to carry on when we perhaps find ourselves discouraged and ready to throw the towel and ready to quit, which I'm sure we can all sort of resonate with. We've all been there, I'm sure, because of the pressures that are upon us in life. We're all under tremendous pressure, whether it's at work or family or whatever, and sometimes that can just become a bit too much for us, can't it? In the message that we're looking at tonight in 2 Corinthians, we're told of how Paul managed to cope in times of trouble. That's what we've just read about there. We're told that when Paul was experiencing pressures and trials, the way in which he managed to overcome them was by looking to God. That's basically it in a nutshell. That's what it's all about tonight. The way that Paul managed to overcome his trials and the pressures of life was by looking to God. We're told that in times of trouble, Paul put his confidence in God alone, not in anything else, but in God alone, that he looked to the Lord God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, to give him the strength to endure and to carry on. And what I want us to see tonight is that out of his own difficult experience, out of Paul's difficult experience, he tells us how we too can find comfort and encouragement from God in times of trouble. There's something in here for us in this day and age. And he does this, I think, by giving us three simple reminders, which hopefully we'll be able to take away from here tonight with us and to hang on to help us to cope in times of trouble when we face them. And the first reminder that he gives to us is this, and that's that we need to remember what God is to us. We need to remember what God is to us. That's the first reminder that Paul gives us. You know, it's pretty obvious from this reading, isn't it, that Paul was going through a pretty rough patch in life. We cannot deny that. And as such, I don't think he was probably feeling like singing about his circumstances. But it's evidence that, nevertheless, maybe he couldn't sing about his circumstances, but what he could do, even in that situation, was to sing about his God. He could sing about his God, the sovereign God, the God that was in control of his circumstances, the God who is in control of all of our circumstances, not just Paul's. He's in control of your circumstances, my circumstances as well. And so we see Paul praising God, don't we, in verse 3, where we read him saying, "Praise be to God." So as I say, even in the middle of all this suffering and trouble, Paul was still singing God's praises. Now, many of us here tonight would, and I'm including myself in this, would find that very difficult to do, and difficult to even to understand, to comprehend how somebody can actually, who's suffering such tremendous hardship, could possibly praise God in the midst of it. Or indeed, not only how could they do it, indeed, why would they actually want to do so? But you see, Paul had learned a tremendous lesson, a tremendous thing, I think. And that thing that he had learned was that praise is an important factor in achieving victory over discouragement and depression. Praise is an important factor in achieving victory over discouragement and depression. And I'm not just talking here about positive thinking. It's more than that. I'm sure you'll all know the well-known maxim, and I'm sure some of you can even perhaps testify to it, that prayer changes things, doesn't it? We would all say amen to that. We wouldn't have a problem with that, thinking that prayer changes things. But can I ask you, do you also believe that praise changes things, that praise can change situations and circumstances just as much as prayer can? You know, Paul obviously believed in that. He believed that it did. And the question tonight perhaps is, you know, do we believe that praise can change things? Or is this maybe a lesson that we actually need to learn? Paul then goes on to tell us to praise God in different ways and for various reasons. He sort of unpacks this idea of the need to praise God and to focus on God. And we'll just look at some of the things that he picks up on. First of all, he tells us to praise God purely and simply because he is God. Nothing other than that. The fact that he is God. Let's praise God for who he is. The fact that he is God. When Paul considered the many ways in which God had obviously blessed him during his lifetime, it automatically gave him reason and a desire to praise God. When he thought upon how God had blessed him, his heart just obviously burst into praise, into song. However, Paul didn't just praise God for the way in which he had blessed him in the past, which is perhaps very easy to do. Maybe we look back and we see the good times and we can praise God for them. But, you know, Paul even managed in the midst of his troubles to see that God was actually still blessing him in that time, in his time of troubles. And so he even managed to praise God for the way in which he was blessing him at that point in time in his life, in the midst of his troubles, not just for when things had been good. The question is, could we imagine, can we manage to bring ourselves to praise God in such circumstances, in the midst of troubles like Paul did? Or is that yet again perhaps another lesson that we need to learn? Secondly, Paul tells us to praise God for another reason. And that reason is because he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul reminds us that it is because of Jesus Christ that we can actually call God Father. That we can enter into a relationship with him. That we can approach him as one of his children. It's because of Christ's death that we have been adopted into the family of God. And you know, believe it or not, because of this tremendous privilege that we have, because we are part of the family of God, God loves us just the same as he loved his son. We all know that God loves us. Yeah, the Bible teaches that and we all hang on to that. But do we actually realise how much he loves us? he loves us as much as his son. And because of that, if you follow the logic through, if he loves us as much as his son, because of that, I would say that God is able and willing to do for you and for me today as much as he did for his son, for Jesus Christ. And so he will see to it that the pressures of life will not destroy us, just in the same way that he made sure that the pressures of life did not destroy Jesus. Yeah, again, do we believe this? Or is it yet another lesson that we still need to learn? And a third point that Paul picks up on, he tells us that we should praise God because he is the Father of compassion. Because he's the Father of compassion. Paul reminds us that God is the Father of compassion because all compassion originates with him and from him and can be secured only from him, from no other source. Paul reminds us that our God is not only a compassionate God. That's not the way he describes him, a compassionate God. The way he describes him is that he is the God of compassion. He is the God of compassion. In other words, he is the source of all compassion. And it's because of his compassion, it's because of God's compassion for us, that he does not give us what we so rightly deserve. It's only because of the Lord's compassion towards us that we're not consumed, as the Bible tells us. And so Paul reminds us that we should praise God because he is the Father of compassion. Then finally, Paul tells us to praise God because he is the Father of all comfort. The Father of all comfort. As I'm sure you have no doubt noticed, perhaps already from the reading, this word comfort appears several times, didn't it? It came up a few times in the passage that we're looking at tonight. I don't know about you, but I find it absolutely amazing that in spite of all the problems that Paul was experiencing, let's not beat about the bush, he was facing a lot of problems, he was still able to write a letter to his readers, to his listeners, that was full of comfort and encouragement, wasn't it? It was full of comfort and encouragement. Now, because so much of what Paul is saying in this passage tonight hinges on this word comfort, I think we need to make sure that we understand exactly what is meant by it. Perhaps it's easiest to start by thinking about what it is not. It's maybe a roundabout way of going things, but let's think what it's not. You know, we must not think of comfort as we perhaps sometimes do in terms of sympathy, meaning sympathy or something like that, because, you know, sympathy is a very weak word and it can weaken us instead of strengthening us. But the real sort of meaning, I think, of the word comfort as it's used by Paul here in this passage tonight is more likely something like to come alongside and to help with strength. This idea of coming alongside but also strengthening at the same time. You know, when God comforts us in our times of trouble, he does not just simply sympathise with us, pat us on the back and glibly say to us, you know, cheer up, things will get better, as perhaps some of our friends might tend to do. Nor does he try to distract our attention from our troubles, which is yet another thing that people sometimes do. And they're well-meaning, but sometimes that's the approach that people take. They try and distract us from our troubles. No, instead, what God does is he comes alongside us and he puts strength into our hearts, strength into our lives, into our character, so that we can actually face our trials and overcome them. We don't have to run away from them or avoid them or whatever. He gives us the strength so that we can cope with them. So let's remember, in our times of trouble, that God has promised to come alongside to encourage and to strengthen us so as to enable us to cope. Now, the way in which God obviously does this can vary from time to time and situation. Sometimes he perhaps does it through his word, through studying the Bible or hearing the Bible preached or whatever. Sometimes he does it by the power of his Spirit working in our lives. And on some occasions, more practical ways, he will use other people, other Christians, godly people, who have got perhaps that experience to come alongside us and to give us the encouragement that we need. So we have to be alert to all these different ways that God can actually comfort us and encourage us and strengthen us. You know, when we find ourselves discouraged because of difficult circumstances, it's all too easy, isn't it, to become preoccupied with ourselves and our own feelings. That's something that we tend to do when we get into difficulties. We become very inward focused and just think about ourselves and our own problems and our own feelings. And but you know, the first step that we need to take when we find ourselves in this sort of situation is to remember to look to the Lord, to look out with ourselves, to remember all that God is to us. We need to be like the psalmist and to learn to lift our eyes to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the Almighty, the all-powerful God, for he is the source of encouragement and comfort in times of trouble. He is our refuge and strength in times of trouble. And it's from him that we will receive the strength that we need to enable us to cope. When Paul was hemmed in on every side by difficult circumstances, and he couldn't see his way out of them, he couldn't find any way out of them, the only way that he could look was up to God. So let's remember that when we feel hemmed in by our circumstances, in the same way that Paul was, what we need to do is to look up to God for help. Second reminder that Paul gives to us is that we need to remember what God does for us. What God does for us. And yet again he breaks that down in different ways. First of all, Paul tells us that God permits trials to come. Now that maybe seems a funny one, but God permits trials to come. You know, there are some sufferings that we endure simply because we are human, because we live in a fallen world. We cannot avoid illness and things like that. And because of that, we are subject to pain and hurt. But you know, there are other sufferings that come our way because we are God's people, because we are Christians. You think of people who suffer for their faith because they are persecuted. So there are different types of sufferings, but the thing is, we need to realise that there are lots of there's lots of suffering out there that we can face. Sometimes it's because of our own doing, and sometimes it's not because of our own doing. You know, as Christians, we must never think that trouble is an accident, that it just happens to come our way. For the Christian, we have to believe that everything, even including hard times, is of God, that nothing happens to us by accident. We have to believe in the sovereignty of God, the fact that he can bring about good out of bad. If you think about it, there are only three possible outlooks that a person can take when it comes to the trials of life. First of all, if we believe our trials are the product of fate or chance, if they just happen, if they just come by our way, then our only recourse is to give up, I think. We may as well just give up, throw the towel in. For nobody can control fate or chance, can you? I mean, that's if we talk about fate or chance, it's impossible to actually control that. Things are just going to happen. They're going to be out with our control. So you may as well just give up. Secondly, however, if we believe we personally have to control everything ourselves, which is another way we go about life and we face problems, we think we have the strength to cope with things and we can do it in our own self, in our own strength, we can control everything, then the situation, I would suggest, is equally as hopeless as, yet once again, we might as well give up. Because, you know, we are only mere humans. We cannot control everything, much as we perhaps would like to and think we can at times. History has proven to us that we cannot. It's just out with our capabilities. Thirdly, if we believe that God is sovereign, if we believe that God is in control of everything and we trust in him, then we can overcome circumstances with his help. So God's word encourages us in our times of trouble by teaching us that ultimately it is God who permits trials to come our way. Although at times in our lives things may seem to be out of control, they are in fact totally under control. They're under His control. They're in the hands of God. And what better person, what better place could there be for our life to be in than to be in the control of God, under His hands. No better place to be. Next, Paul goes on and tells us that God is in control of our trials. He's told us that God allows these trials to come our way, but he doesn't just leave it there. He goes on and he tells us that God is actually in control of our trials. In verse 8, Paul tells of how we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. You know, it was the absolute end. They were despairing even of life. They were suicidal. They were thinking of calling it a day. Paul was weighed down by a burden far too heavy for him to bear. He just couldn't cope with it. And perhaps this is where some of us are at tonight. But you know, take heart. Don't give up. God knew just how much Paul could take, and he kept the situation under control. God wouldn't let Paul suffer more than he could cope with. And he'll do the same for you and I. We can rest assured that he won't let us suffer beyond what we can actually bear, what we can cope with. You know, we don't know what the specific trouble was that Paul suffered from. It doesn't tell us. But what we do know is that it was great enough to make Paul think that he was going to die. Whether it was opposition from his enemies, serious illness or whatever, we do not know, nor indeed do we actually need to know. But what we do know, however, and what's important, is that we learn that God controlled the circumstances that surrounded Paul, and he protected and delivered Paul from them. As I say, he'll do the same for you and for me. I came across a nice quote, perhaps I've heard it before, that says that when God puts his children in the furnace, in other words, when you go through testing times, he keeps his hands on the thermostat and his eye on the thermometer. In other words, he won't let you bear with more than you can cope with. Similar words found in the prophet Isaiah. There he tells us that this is what the Lord says: He who created you, He who formed you, fear not when you pass through the waters, not if, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And that's the key thing in this verse here, the fact that God's presence will actually be with us in these circumstances. God doesn't let us go through these on our own. He is there with us. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. In other words, he won't let us suffer so much that we cannot cope with it. Do these words not comfort you? Do they not reassure you that God is in control of our circumstances, and that no matter what may happen to us, we will be kept safe by him? Paul then goes on to tell us that God enables us to bear our trials. You know, Paul was obviously a very gifted and experienced man. You can learn that from reading about him in the Bible. And he had obviously been through many trials on various occasions. And as such, you might think that his previous experience of life would have been sufficient to enable him to face up to these new trials that he was facing at this point in time and to overcome them. But that obviously wasn't the case. If that had been the case, then Paul would simply have been trying to work things through in his own strength, to work things out for himself, relying on his own knowledge. And you know, this is not how God operates, and he doesn't want us to operate in this way either. God wants us to trust in him. He does not want us to rely on our own gifts or our own abilities or our own experiences, or even to rely on other people. Our confidence in times of trouble and indeed at all times, not just in times of trouble, should be on God alone and not in ourselves. So quite often the first thing that God needs to do to us before he can help us to grow as Christians is to show us how pathetically weak we are within ourselves, so that we're forced to lean on him and to rely on him and not rely on ourselves. But it's only when you and I die to self, in other words, when we give up trying to do things in our own strength, that God's resurrection power can go to work in us and things can really begin to happen. However, dying to self does not mean sitting about doing nothing and expecting God to take over and to do everything for us. And I'm sure that in this situation that we're thinking about Paul tonight, he didn't just sit back and do nothing. I'm sure that Paul prayed, that he searched the scriptures, that he consulted with friends. But perhaps most importantly of all, you can be sure that he was trusting God to work in that situation, I'm sure. And so too, we must trust God to work in all situations. Remember that the God who raises the dead, that's the God that we worship, the God who raises the dead is sufficient for any difficulty of life. He is able to do anything. But we need to believe in his power and to allow him to work in our lives. Next, Paul tells us that God also delivers us from our trials. He delivers us from our trials. However, we need to appreciate, that God does not always deliver us immediately, which is what we would obviously perhaps be wanting to see. Nor does he always do it in the same way. Sometimes we think God should work in certain ways, but God doesn't always work in certain ways. So we have to be open to God working in different timescale and working in different ways. But the bottom line is that God will deliver us from our trials. Sometimes he delivers us from our trials, and at other times he actually delivers us in and through our trials. The important thing, however, to grasp is that either way, we can count upon him to deliver us in the end of the day. It's interesting to note how God's deliverance of Paul was not only in response to his own personal faith. That was an element that was there, and that was important. But it was also in response, we're told, to the prayers of the Corinthian church, of the Christians in Corinth. They were praying for Paul, and as a result of that, God was at work. You know, Paul was never ashamed to ask his fellow Christians to pray for him. He knew that he needed their prayer support, especially at times like this, to enable him to do the job that God had called him to do. And the lesson I think that we can learn from this is never underestimate the importance of intercessory prayer. You know, perhaps the greatest help that we can give to fellow believers, to our friends in the church or whatever, our family, in times of trouble, is not necessarily practical help, although that's important that we should be doing that as well. But perhaps the greatest thing that we as Christians can do for them is to uphold them in prayer, to intercede on their behalf. In other words, to ask God to come alongside them in their troubles and to help them, to strengthen them, to enable them to cope. And sure, you don't need me to tell you, you've probably experienced it yourself, but you know, quite often in times of trouble, people find it extremely difficult to pray for themselves. They find it difficult to engage with God. They feel that he's far off. And so it's essential at times like that that others are upholding them in prayer. Others are praying for them because they find it so difficult to do it for themselves. And finally, Paul tells us that God is glorified through our trials. God is glorified through our trials. Paul tells us that God works out his purposes in the trials of life. He's working out his purposes. Maybe not what we would think, but he's working out his purposes in the trials of life. if we yield to Him, if we trust in Him and obey what He tells us to do. You see, difficulties actually can be a positive thing. They can increase our faith and they can strengthen our prayer lives as well. Difficulties can draw us closer to God and they can draw us closer to other Christians as they share the burden with us and we engage with them to support them through difficult times. And through all of this, ultimately, difficulties can actually be used to glorify God. They can bring glory to God as people look on and they see how Christians cope in times of trouble by looking to God. So when we find ourselves in trials of life, let's remember firstly what God is to us. That He is the God of all comfort. Secondly, let's remember also what God does for us. That He enables us to bear our trials and that He delivers us from them. Now let's look thirdly and finally at the last reminder that Paul gives to us. And that is that we need to remember what God does through us. What God does through us. That's the final thing that we need to remember. You know, in times of suffering, most of us are prone to think only of ourselves and to forget about others. As we said, we become very introverted. We can actually become cisterns, just soaking stuff up instead of channels, instead of giving out. And life can sort of go on hold for a wee while. Yet one reason for trials is so that you and I might learn to actually be channels of blessing, to comfort and encourage others. Because God has encouraged us in our times of trouble, we can then go on and encourage others in their times of trouble too. That's the thinking behind it. It's interesting to note, however, that Paul makes it clear that we don't actually need to experience exactly the same trials as other people in order to be able to help them and to share God's encouragement with them. He tells us in verse 4 that if we have experienced God's comfort in any sort of way, then we can comfort those who are going through any sort of trouble. Of course, if we have experienced similar problems to other people, then they can actually perhaps help us to identify better with these people and to know how better to help them, how they feel, and so we can help them better. But our experience cannot alter the comfort of God. That remains sufficient and efficient. No matter what our own experiences have been, that's not actually what matters. It's the comfort of God, knowing and experiencing the comfort of God and then being able to share that with others. Paul himself gives an example of this principle when he tells us of how he himself was given a thorn in the flesh, in other words, some kind of physical suffering. As already mentioned, we do not know exactly what this thorn in the flesh was. What we do know, however, is that in his suffering, Paul had experienced the grace of God. And it was because of this that he was then able to go on and to encourage others. You know, no matter what our trial may be, God tells us that His grace is sufficient for us, just as it was for Paul. This is the promise that we can claim, but it's a promise that we wouldn't have if it hadn't been for Paul's suffering and him passing it on to us. You don't need me to tell you that it's inevitable that we will all experience some sort of suffering as we go through life. However, the subject of human suffering is not easy to understand or to explain. Many, many learned people have tried to explain suffering and it's not an easy thing to do. Sometimes we suffer because of our own sin, sometimes because of rebellion. However, sometimes we suffer for no apparent reason. We cannot find a reason for our suffering. And that is hard and that is difficult when that is the situation. While suffering is undoubtedly not a pleasant experience, it can, however, turn out to be a positive one. Suffering can perfect our character. Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans of how we can rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that sufferings produce perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. At the same time, suffering can also have another positive aspect to it, I'd like to suggest. Suffering can help us to minister to others. You know, God always prepares us for what He is preparing for us. And part of that preparation often includes suffering. So it was with Paul, that he was being prepared through the suffering, the experience of suffering that he was going through, for something that God was going to do through him. And that something that God had in store for him was to minister to others who were in need. Something we perhaps need to appreciate a bit more is that God has to work in us before he can actually work through us. You know, it's much easier for us to grow in knowledge. Head knowledge is easy to take on board than it is to grow in grace. Learning God's truth and getting it into our heads is one thing, but living and learning God's truth and getting it into our lives, into our characters, is something else. That is hard and that takes time. Hopefully it'll come as a comfort to you to learn that as suffering perhaps increases, so does the supply of God's grace. As suffering increases, so does the supply of God's grace. This is an important principle for us to grasp. God has ample grace for our every need. But we also need to appreciate something, and that is that He will not give it to us in advance. God doesn't dish out grace to us in advance of situations. For if we could actually store God's grace up for future emergency use, we would be inclined to be tempted to trust in ourselves and not the grace of God. So God doesn't tend to give us grace in advance of these trials and suffering and situations that we find ourselves in. It only comes at that point in time. Many resources God gives us, you know, can be kept for future use, but as I say, the grace of God cannot be stored away. Rather, as we experience the grace of God in our daily lives, it's invested into our lives as godly character. And it's this investment that then pays off, it pays dividends when new troubles come our way. For in the end of the day, it's godly character that enables us to endure tribulations. It's nothing else, none other than that. There's no magic formula to help us to cope with trials and tribulations. The answer to it really is to have a godly character, a godly attitude, a godly perspective on things, and that will help us to cope with these situations. So finally, to sum up what we've learned from the study of God's Word tonight, undoubtedly and most importantly, when we experience suffering, the most important thing for us to do is to fix our attention upon God. Not to look at ourselves, not to look at our problems, but focus our attention on God. And this, I think, was Paul's secret of success. It was this secret that enabled him to cope victoriously with the trials and tribulations that he faced. Hebrews 12 tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. And why are we being encouraged to focus our eyes on Jesus? Well, it goes on and it tells us, so that we won't grow weary and give up in this earthly race, so that we won't grow weary and give up. And to help us to do this, to help us to fix our attention upon God, let's remember the three pointers that Paul has given to us tonight. Firstly, remember what God is to us. What God is to us, that He is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. He's the source of all comfort. Remember, secondly, what God does for us. That He enables us to bear our trials and that He actually delivers us from them. That He is able to handle our trials and to make them work out for our good and for His glory. And then thirdly and finally, let's remember what God does through us, hopefully. that he wants to use us to be an encouragement to others in their times of suffering. And I think if we remember these three things that Paul taught us tonight, then I'm convinced that it will help us to cope in times of trouble in the same way that Paul did. Let's pray.